In a society that rewards groupthink, Christopher Hitchens offers a defiant manifesto for independent thinkers. His slim volume of wisdom has become intellectual oxygen for journalists, activists, and free spirits since 2001, experiencing a remarkable resurgence among Gen Z readers disillusioned with mainstream narratives. The book's enduring relevance speaks to our perpetual struggle between conformity and dissent, between comfortable falsehoods and uncomfortable truths. As we navigate polarization and echo chambers, Hitchens encourages us to stand apart from the crowd, especially when it feels most difficult. What if the most valuable contribution you could make to society isn't agreeing with the majority, but questioning it? What if intellectual rebellion isn't just admirable, but necessary? True contrarianism isn't about being different for its own sake. It's about developing the capacity to see through collective delusions and the courage to name them. Consider Emile Zola risking everything to defend an innocent Jewish officer against anti-Semitic persecution, or Galileo daring to suggest Earth wasn't the center of the universe despite the Church's opposition. These weren't merely rebellious personalities. They were individuals whose intellectual integrity compelled them to stand against powerful orthodoxies. Have you ever remained silent when someone made a bigoted remark at a dinner party, or nodded along to an obviously flawed plan in a meeting? These small moments of conformity seem insignificant, but they form the building blocks of our moral character. The contrarian refuses these compromises. To be in opposition is not to be a nihilist, Hitchens writes. It is something you are, not something you do. This distinction is crucial. Contrarianism isn't a pose or career strategy. It's an intellectual commitment that often comes at significant personal cost. Yet paradoxically, it's also the path to genuine freedom and integrity in a world that constantly demands we surrender both. Harmony and consensus aren't always ideal. Conflict and contradiction can drive human progress. While moderation often seems wise, it becomes problematic when it assumes truth always lies in the middle. Sometimes, the correct position exists at what appears to be an extreme. Consider debates about climate change or historical events. Is the balanced position truly halfway between fact and fiction? Major social changes, like the abolition of slavery and civil rights, weren't achieved through moderate compromise, but through clear moral stands and determined opposition. Real change emerges through intelligent resistance, as shown by contrarians like George Orwell, John Stuart Mill, and Frederick Douglass. The power of the contrarian voice lies in articulating what others sense but haven't expressed. Rosa Parks and Edward Snowden didn't create new grievances. They transformed existing frustrations into catalysts for change. When you feel instinctive resistance to an accepted idea, don't dismiss it. Your contrarian impulse might be the seed of an important correction to collective thinking. One of the most powerful tools in the contrarian arsenal is what Hitchens calls living as if. Behaving as though the free society you desire already exists. This approach represents a form of resistance against authoritarianism. Under a repressive regime where free speech is prohibited, the as-if revolutionary simply begins speaking freely, creating underground publications and forming discussion groups. This approach doesn't just prepare for freedom, it creates it in the present moment. The peaceful revolutions of 1989 across Eastern Europe demonstrated this principle. Dissidents created parallel polis, alternative social structures that operated alongside official ones. When transformation arrived, these parallel structures expanded into the vacuum left by collapsing authoritarian systems. This principle applies beyond dictatorships. When confronted with casual racism, respond as if we already lived in a society where such behavior is universally unacceptable. When faced with corporate doublespeak, ask direct questions as if straightforward communication were the norm. The gap between how you would act in your ideal world and your current behavior represents the space where your personal revolution can begin. When you choose the contrarian path, expect resistance, not just from those who disagree, but from those questioning your right to take any position. They'll ask, "Who are you to judge? Is the timing right? Aren't there more pressing concerns?" F.M. Cornford identified two classic tactics against action, the wedge and the unripe time. The wedge argument claims any small change will lead to extreme consequences. The unripe time argument perpetually postpones action by claiming conditions aren't perfect yet. These arguments persist in modern debates. Campus speaker protests face warnings about censorship. Climate activists hear the economy isn't ready. Racial justice movements are told to wait for a better moment. Like the child in the Emperor's New Clothes tale, sometimes the contrarian's value lies in stating the obvious when others won't. True maturity isn't abandoning this clarity, but maintaining it despite pressure to conform. Contrarianism begins with questioning the small things we typically take for granted. Consider the New York Times slogan, "All the news that's fit to print." Who decides what's fit and by what criteria? Who selects front page stories? Who determines which voices are heard? We often accept convenience over ethics, like buying sweatshop-made products while disapproving of exploitative labor, or valuing privacy while carelessly surrendering data to tech companies. The contrarian mindset requires recognizing these contradictions. Practice by examining one unquestioned assumption daily. Why do we shake hands? Why do we eat certain foods only at breakfast? Why do we structure our work week as we do? These simple questions reveal our cultural conditioning and hidden assumptions. Remember, the most dangerous prison is the one we don't recognize as a prison. Questioning the mundane helps develop the capacity to challenge more significant orthodoxies when needed. Violence and injustice demand action, as passive indifference becomes moral failure. Hitchens points to the Bosnian War, with its ethnic cleansing and concentration camps in Europe, as a personal wake-up call that compelled him to take a stand. The international community's tepid response to such clear evil demonstrated how neutrality becomes complicity. As Ale Wiesel noted, we must take sides. Neutrality helps the oppressor, never the victim. This principle applies to everyday ethical choices. Remaining silent during bullying, failing to challenge bigoted remarks, or ignoring workplace injustice, these instances of inaction carry moral weight. The contrarian recognizes that inaction is itself a form of action, and silence communicates acceptance. This creates an imperative to intervene when conscience demands, despite personal risks. Though the contrarian path often leads to isolation and criticism, Hitchens shows it's the only route compatible with intellectual integrity and moral courage. In an age of conformity, the willingness to stand alone for truth becomes essential.